And welcome to Tourism Talk, ladies and gentlemen, brought to you by the Baltimore Tourism Association. I'm your host, Chris Reel, president of Baltimore Rent-A-Tour. And today I'm very happy to be joined by Betsy Stone with the Baltimore Office of Promotion and the Arts. Hi, Betsy. How are you?
Hi, Chris. I'm great.
Great, great. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Now, the Baltimore Office of Promotion and the Arts really covers a lot here in Baltimore. But today we wanted to talk to you specifically about one of the most iconic buildings in all of downtown Baltimore. Anybody that's walked around downtown, anybody that's been to a ball game, has seen this piece of architecture, the Bromo Seltzer Tower.
That's right. I don't know about you, but I'm one of those people, when I get downtown, my head is up in the air. I'm looking at the buildings. I love the architecture. And there's some buildings you come across that you look at them and you think, what's behind that building?
Right.
And Bromo Seltzer Tower is one of those places. It just makes you wonder.
Well, we have all sorts of beautiful architecture all around the city, obviously. But I think that that tower is one that really catches everyone's attention and really imagination. It's right on the corner of South Utah and Lombard Street. Of course, we're talking about that big tower with the four clock faces. And on the face of the clock are the letters that spell Bromo Seltzer, which conveniently happens to be precisely 12 letters long.
There so you go. That's right.
Perfect if you want to build a clock. Can you tell us more about the clock itself?
Well, the clock and the building, they're both on separate historical registries, but the clock, when it was built in 1911, was designed by Seth Thomas. And the original design was a four-faced dial clock. And it's the largest non-chiming, gravity-driven clock in the nation when it was built in 1911. And one interesting fact is the clock faces, the dials, were designed specifically to be 1 foot larger than Big Ben, the Westminster Hall clock.
So yes. Our clock in Baltimore is actually larger than the famous clock in London.
Yes, it was built during time when we were in competition with Britain, so it had to be bigger and better.
How about that?
Yeah.
Wow. We've seen old photographs of Baltimore's skyline. The clock used to look a little bit different. The tower looked a little bit different, right? There was a big bottle of Bromo Seltzer up on top of the tower.
There was. Over 80 foot high and 20 foot in diameter, a replica of the bottle. And on top of the bottle was a crown. And inside the crown were 596 blinking lights.
Wow.
To represent the effervescence of Bromo Seltzer. And it rotated on top of the tower. And it was up there until 1936 when it started cracking the top of the tower and they had to take it down.
That must have been a sight to see.
Oh, amazing.
Can you talk a little bit about Bromo Seltzer? We have tour groups that come in, and I mentioned the Bromo Seltzer clock, and a lot of our customers, some of our older customers, sort of nod and smile like, oh, I remember Bromo Seltzer. What was Bromo Seltzer exactly? And can you talk a little bit about Isaac Emerson, the man who manufactured it here?
Isaac Emerson graduated from North Carolina with a degree in chemistry, and he started up his first drugstore here in Baltimore. He and his wife moved to Baltimore. And being a chemist, he worked on different things that cure what ail you. And he came up with Bromo Seltzer, which was in powdered form. And it was predominantly sold as a cure-all for a night after heavy drinking. Yes. Four very basic ingredients. Two of them were sedatives. And then the other two, citric acid and sodium bicarbonate, gave it the effervescence. Yes, if you were older than I, you would probably know about Bromo Seltzer.
Yeah, that's fascinating. And so that was the bottle was on top. That was where the factory or manufacturing plant was, that it was actually created.
Well,
here,
right? What is remaining from the Emerson Tower is the tower itself. On the sides, there used to be six stories on either side where they did research and development, manufacturing. They even had their own printing presses.
Wow.
Yeah. But the tower, when it was built, was actually leased out to other companies, businesses to have their businesses in the tower.
We've obviously preserved this building. It's an iconic part of our skyline. What is the building being used for today?
Well, in 2006... the building was remodeled, and it houses 15 stories of artists. We have about 33 studios that are available for rent, and we have a multitude of talented, creative people, artists, writers, videographers, photographers. We even have an architect in the building.
That's great. Now, do these folks just rent this space out and use it during the day? They don't actually live there?
No, okay. No. It's strictly for working, not apartments.
Okay. If I'm not an artist and I would like to see the inside of this tower, is there an opportunity for me to do that?
Absolutely. Every single Saturday we are open from 11 to 4. What happens when you get to the building, you're allowed to go all through the building. You can go up to the 15th floor and walk down and see the art throughout the building. We have exhibits going on. And the artist, if they are in their space that day, they'll open their doors. You're welcome to go in, chat with them, visit, see what they're working on, and buy some very amazing original art.
So you can actually purchase the art while you're touring?
Absolutely.
In terms of group sizes, how many folks can you bring in at a time?
Well, when we do our clock tours, we can get as many as 40 people up into the clock room.
Wait, back up a second. You can actually go up into the clock room?
Absolutely.
Really? Now you're talking. That sounds really interesting.
Yes. You can do a number of things when you get to the Bromo Tower. It's not just about the art. You see, more than that, we also do entertainment. But one of the things that people are really drawn to now are the clock tours. And we talk about the history of Bromo Seltzer, what Bromo Seltzer is, mm-hmm. about Emerson. And the last part of the tour takes you up inside the clock.
Wow. That must be something.
It's wonderful. You can see the gears and everything.
And the clock still keeps good time, right?
It sure does. It loses about a second a week.
Really?
Yeah.
So every once in a while you have to tweak it a little bit, but that's
just
pretty impressive for 100 years old.
Absolutely. 104 just last week.
104 last week.
Yeah.
How about that? And still looks beautiful. How many tours are given on these Saturdays?
Saturdays we do 4 tours, and they're at 11:30, 12:30, 1:30, and 2:30. And we ask people to arrive about 10 minutes early because our tour starts on the 11th floor, so that gives them time to get up there. But they also need to sign a waiver. Mm-hmm. The last leg that takes you up inside the clock is what we call a ship's ladder, an open ladder with handrails.
Sure.
And it's just a minor waiver that you have to sign to go up inside the clock room.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's not handicapped accessible.
It's not.
Note that.
No, unfortunately.
But is the rest of the tour to get up to the 11th floor? Is that an elevator that takes you
yes,
up there?
Yes, there is. We have the original 1911 manually driven elevator that we can give folks a treat, the hand driven elevator that takes you up there. And the first part of the tour starts sitting down. So anybody, handicapped or not, can listen to the tour. And then we have our history room where you can see artifacts of the Bromo Tower and Emerson's legacy to Baltimore.
That's fantastic. So individuals, it says here you ask them to arrive about 10 minutes before the tour begins.
Right.
Just to get, I guess you'll group them together and then take everybody up at once.
Well, we send them up as they arrive and they'll start the tour, like I said, on the 11th floor. And then we take them up all together up into the clock room.
Great. Now, for any tour operators or group leaders that may be listening, I would imagine you'd recommend that they make advance arrangements if they have a bus group coming that would like
yes,
to see this?
Yes, because usually they come in mass and they all want to go up at the same time.
Right.
So we do need to have a reservation for that so you know we can have the whole slotted time for them. And we can do about 40 people up in the clock room at one time. So we ask that they call and make a reservation. They can either call or they can get to me by going to the website, too.
Okay.
And all the information is on there.
All right, great. Yeah, we'll get to the website in just a second. Is there a cost associated with this?
Yes, there is. Not for coming into the building, but just for the clock tours. We do charge $5, which is reasonable for a venue here in Bart. It is indeed.
To see something like that, absolutely.
But we have so much information, and it's a shame not to share it. So
I agree. Well, that website that you mentioned a moment ago is www.bromoseltzerartstower.com. There's a lot there. It's BromoSeltzerArtsTower.com. Did I get it all?
It's a mouthful.
The BromoSeltzerArtsTower.com. And it looks like you also have a Facebook page also.
Yes. So they can call me, too.
Okay.
On the telephone.
The old-fashioned way?
The old-fashioned way, 443-874-3596 to schedule a tour if they have any questions or even an idea about entertainment or activities that they'd like to do in the tower. We're always open to that.
So you're entertaining ideas of actually using it as a venue space for a performance or an exhibition or something like that?
We do a number of performances. Just recently we had a harp concert,
wow.
But every third Saturday we've been doing a program called Musing at the Brummo, and it's a very relaxed, informal entertainment time where we have opened up Studio 11. And an assortment of music could be rap or jazz or opera. You never know what's going to go on any particular day. But we also have artists sometimes working behind the music. So it's a fun time, but it's very relaxed.
That sounds great. That's great. And all that can be found on the website.
Yes.
Fantastic. Well, we encourage everybody to visit there. And I just want to mention briefly, the Baltimore Office of Promotion and the Arts, as we said at the beginning, is responsible for a lot of other wonderful attractions in the city. Can you talk briefly about some of those other programs and attractions?
Just about anything you see that happens downtown, the Baltimore Office of Promotion and Arts had a hand in Artscape and Book Festival, our parades, and a number of the facilities that they manage for the city. The Top of the World,
mm-hmm.
The observation level of the World Trade Center.
Great.
That's one of their locations that they manage, and that's a wonderful place. You can go up to the 27th floor, and you have a 360-degree view over Baltimore. And there's all sorts of information about Baltimore's history, and it's a great teaching tool
mm-hmm.
for schools. But it's just a great way to get your bearings. It's a great place to start your visit to Baltimore.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, more information about those other programs can be found at www.bop.org, B-O-P. That one's a bit shorter. That's the Baltimore Office of Promotion and the Arts website. And so check out both of those websites. Give Betsy a call, 443-874-3596, and make your way out to the Brummo Seltzer Tower.
21 South Utah.
Thanks so much, Betsy, for being with us today. It's been a pleasure.
You're welcome. Thank you so much.
And thank you all for joining us here on Tourism Talk. My name's Chris Reel. We'll be back right after this.